Okay, we're official now. We're going to get into God's Word. Yesterday at Sunday's Fellowship, I taught on a subject that I think is so, so critical that it's a principle in God's Word that the believers need to really grasp in the depth of their heart. And that's living your identity. That's what I titled the teaching, Living Your Identity. We've got it on Facebook, and then it's on YouTube as well. And it, we'll have an audio on our website at some point, too. So, but the Word of God has purpose. And the purpose is that we can live it and be it. And we get the privilege of being God's Word. You know, I shared about how everybody, and me included, I think we all go through this, where our mind is bombarded with challenging thoughts of who we really are. You know, we see things, we hear things, we've got backgrounds, we've got experiences, and who are we? And we go through all kinds of thoughts and thinking in our mind, but the reality is, for us that know God's Word, we are sons of God with power. You know, and so as we live our identity as sons of God, I want to share with you what is the key element to living our identity. First, we find out who we are. You know, who we are in Christ, and then how, what's the key? And I shared a little bit Sunday, but I'm going to share a little bit more tonight. First, we're going to go to 1 John 3:1. We've got to start first, as I mentioned, about knowing who we are. And we're going to use this verse to establish that reality. So, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I've got the King James here. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. We're talking about the love of God here. And he bestowed it upon us. He put it into action for us that we should be called the sons of God. And the text goes on to say, and we are. King James doesn't reflect that, but the text does have that in there. Some of the other translations do reflect, and so we are. So we are sons of God. We are sons of God. Verse 2 goes on, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear that what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We've got that hope. We've got that great vision ahead of us that when he appears in the sky, he's not coming on earth yet, he will gather us together, and we shall see him like he is. And we're going to be like him. He's going to give us an incorruptible body. So we have so much to identify with as sons of God with power, right? We have his righteousness, we're reconciled, we're redeemed, we're filled with Holy Spirit, nine manifestations. It's Christ in us. Wow, we are loaded. We are loaded in light of who we are in Christ. And that's our identity. That's who we are. So now we want to live out of our identity. How do we do that? What's the key element to living our identity? And so let's go to Romans chapter 4. And I think I shared this one scripture, but again, I want to expand a little bit tonight so that you can realize what it takes to live our identity. So we're going to Romans 4:17. Okay, here we go. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, I'm kind of jumping in the middle here of the context where it's talking about Abraham. Okay? So he's the father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead or makes alive the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You know, Abraham was promised a son. He didn't get that son until he was, 99 years old. That's when things got started in his wife's womb. But he went on to live a number more years and experienced having a son and some other kids. And, of course, out of that came the children of Israel. Thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people came out of that. So Abraham is called the father of believing, a lot of different titles in light of his background and the role he played as God worked in his heart. Now here's the key here. We're getting into the key for his life and then for our life as we identify with who we are in Christ. Verse 19, and being not weak in what?
Faith,
believing, he considered not his own body now dead. Now, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he was 99, he's about 100 years old, and yet he didn't consider that. I mean, I would. Being so old like that, you don't have babies when you're 99 years old. My goodness. But that wasn't in his mind. He got to the point that he didn't consider his own body. He staggered not. This is the key verse here, verse 20. I've got a big star by it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You know, that's how we trip up on the word. We just don't believe it sometimes. We see the promises and we kind of, is that true? Can this really work for me? No. We don't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, in believing, giving glory to God. You know, when you give glory to God, when you praise him, when you put him first in your life, it's a great act of believing. Oh, my goodness. So this is a great key. Believing. Believe who you are in Christ. Believe that you're a son of God with power. But just believe it. Just confess it before the Father. Verse 21, this gets another star in my Bible. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If God promises it, he's going to do it. We just got to be so convinced of that. We need to be what? Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. My goodness. Such a great key. That is the key to living our identity, is believing it. Believe who you are. Well, let's continue on in God's word here, verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He was right before God because he believed. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for who? Us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? I bet you do. I think all of you do. I do. We do. If you believe that, then you can believe who you are in Christ. You can continue to believe the promises of God. Well, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for whose justification? Our justification. Therefore, Therefore, as a result of this, get that chapter out of there, being justified by faith or believing, what do we have? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can just have that quiet acquiescence in our hearts because we believe God. We know He will come through for us. He has gone through for us already. We're His kids. And then verse 2, by whom also we have access. How do we have access? By faith, by believing into this grace, wherein what? We stand. We stand on the promises of God. We stand on who we are in Christ. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Isn't that a great section of God's word? Wow. Well, believing is the key. Let's take a look at a few more verses here. Matthew 17. Matthew 17. This verse blows my mind. And it'd be neat to see this come to pass someday for somebody. 17:12, okay? 17:12 in Matthew. It says, but I say unto you, Jesus talking here, that Elias is come already, and they knew him not. I'm at the wrong verse here. Oh, verse 20, I'm sorry. I thought that looked a little suspect. That wasn't the right verse, sorry. Okay, here we go. Matthew 17, verse 20. Verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith or believing as a grain of mustard seed. Now, he's comparing what size believing you need in this situation. We'll finish the verse in a moment. But he's talking about believing here, the context, right? It was involved in a ministering and a healing of this young man that was possessed by devil spirits. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, that was the problem they were having. They couldn't help that guy. And that what he said was, the amount of believing you need is that of a mustard seed. Now, in those days, when they talked about what's the smallest thing around, they would say the mustard seed, and it's very small, very small. So this was the figure of speech he was using. Just have a little bit of faith of believing of the mustard seed. You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Have you seen any mountains move lately? Well, if we have that kind of believing, just a little bit of believing, you know, that can happen. That can happen. Yeah. So interesting, huh? Believing such a big deal. And it's just a simple accepting who we are in Christ, saying yes to it, being fully persuaded, and being at peace with God about it. Really is. There's some other little keys here. Hebrews 10, kind of working this key to living our identity, and it's believing God, believing who we are. In Hebrews 10, verse 20, 22. And here it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Of believing, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And this word profession in the Old English here, King James, is confession. Again, maybe some of you have different translations and it reflects confession, okay? So let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. So, okay, we're sons of God. We confess that. We confess our believing without wavering. Why? For He is faithful that promised. We know that God, if we get the revelation to move a mountain, we can believe it and it's going to happen. Okay? If we're ministering to situations and God's working within us, and God reveals stuff to us, boy, oh boy, walk right into it and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We are believing without wavering because we know He is faithful, that promised. Man, oh man. And we could go to a lot of verses here in the Bible in light of believing. And I think we've hit a couple good ones already. I'm going to close in 1 Thessalonians, though. And this is a great verse here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a good one. This really nails it. Verse 13. Chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, then it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." This is a wonderful key here, because we're going to see it's talking about believing here, that we have a heart of thankfulness. We're not complaining, we're not bummed out, but we're thankful, we're grateful for who we are. You know, things happen, stuff comes down, but we get through it, and we stay thankful. So, for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're reading. This is the precious word of God. And we didn't receive it by man, right? It's God's word, as it is in truth, the word of God. And it goes on to say, which effectually worketh also in you that do what?
Believe.
Believe. Believe. You know, God's word works. It's activated by believing. And so we want to rise up in our heart, in our understanding, in our mind, that we accept God's word. We believe it. We are convinced of it. We're persuaded of it. Yeah, yeah. Why not? It's the best thing going. And we don't let the adversary trick us into anything else but the truth of God's word, because that word will work in us effectually as we believe it. Sound good? Well, it's the word of God. And that's how we can live our identity. That's a wonderful key, believing the word of God. God bless you.